Tonight I call your attention again to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to finish out this chapter tonight, Lord willing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, continuing our study on called. Tonight we're going to understand our call. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious and holy word? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Again, let us turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Lance Greathouse, would you word our prayer?
Lord, we thank you for a wonderful service so far, Lord. We know that it's going to just get better. And Lord, we just ask that you turn our attention to your heart. And your word, Lord, that's poured out here in these pages, that we can all gain a better understanding of you, Lord, and have a better worship of you, Lord, and have a better fellowship with each other, and that we could also show to others what you would have them to do, Lord, as he brings the word. So just give him the message on his heart we all need. And ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Understanding your call. Have you ever wondered why God called you? You ever thought, why me? And I don't mean that in a bad way, why me? I mean, you ever wonder why God, all of the people that God could have chosen, He chose you and placed you where you are, gave you the family He gave you, the job He gave you, the friends He gave you, the ministry He gave you. You ever wonder, why in the world would God choose me? Well, tonight we're going to answer that question. As a matter of fact, this that we read, verse 26 through the end of the chapter, is about understanding your call. And what he uses in the first part of 26, when he says, you see your calling, that word see doesn't mean to see with eyes. It means to perceive or to understand. So Paul's point and his goal here is to explain, to make sure that the Corinthians understand their call. And their call, of course, was an invitation of God. They had responded to God's invitation to be a part of an elite group. Do you understand? If you're a child of God, you're a part of an elite group. You are special. Not because of you, but because of Jesus Christ. A group responsible to carry out God's will on earth. Ambassadors, if you will. Official representatives. You ever think of yourself that way? That you are an official representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. Kind of makes you draw back and think about it when we leave here, doesn't it? When people see you, they're going to see your Savior. Tonight, understanding your call. The first thing we learned about the call was they were not invited. And that's what, as I said, the word called means they were not invited to be a part of God's program because of who they were or what they could do. If you'll notice there in verse 26, it said, not many wise. I'm going to build you up. Are you ready to be built up? You may feel good about yourself, be excited about yourself. Are you ready? Are you ready to wake up? He begins to explain when he says, not many wise are called. Now, we know what wisdom is. It's very simply knowledgeable, skillful, clever. These, and first thing Paul wanted them to understand is God did not call them because of what they knew. Now, I know when you came to Jesus Christ, you had to fill out a resume listing your qualifications, right? No, absolutely not. How ridiculous is that? Okay? Neither did the church at Corinth. And on top of that, God did not invite you into the family of God because He was impressed with who you are. He was not impressed with your grades in school. He wasn't impressed that you graduated with honors or that you completed a graduate program or have your doctor's degree. That had nothing to do with where you are. You know, it's a blessing to me. It should be a blessing to anyone who serves to be reminded that, you know, it's not about who I am. It's not about what I'm capable of. It's not about my credentials. That's not why God called me. God didn't call me because I was mighty. Again, verse 26, not many mighty are called or powerful. God didn't call you because you're a mover and a shaker. God didn't call you because you can get things done. That's not why He called you, placed you in the ministry that He's given to you. Not many noble are called. God didn't call you because you're from the right family. You know, have you ever noticed in society in general, certain families just command respect and honor? God didn't call you because of the family you're from. God didn't call you because of your position in life, your job. As a matter of fact, the Bible specifically says that He's no respecter of persons. You know why God called you? Do you want to know? This is where you say yes. Do you want to know why God called you?
Yes.
All right. Verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. That's it. I told you I was going to build you up, didn't I? Okay. As a matter of fact, it says foolish things, but if you go back to the Greek, the word things are not there. It just says God has chosen the foolish. And that word is not a slam. It's an intellectually, it means intellectually weak. Okay? God called the... That makes you feel better, right? God has called the intellectually weak. Why? To dishonor the wise. Well, think about this. It's not really making, you know, kind of hard to come to grips with here. You know, I'm okay with being intellectually weak. I figured out the less you know, the less people expect of you. I feel good about it. But God has called the intellectually weak, the foolish, to dishonor the wise. And you go back in the Bible, and that's the way it was in Bible days. Can you imagine the apostles as they preached and the old Pharisees, you know, standing back thinking, where did these guys learn this? They didn't go to the school of Gamaliel. Yeah. Oh, but they still knew so much. They knew so much because they spent time with Jesus. They weren't educated at Harvard. They were educated in the school of the Son of God. God has chosen the foolish. God has chosen the weak. Again, the Greek does not include things. It just says God has chosen the weak. You know what weak means? This is going to make you feel good too. I've got you. I'm building you up. Okay? The weak means sickly. Feel better now? Sickly. You know? Kind of that 98-pound weakling mentality. Those are the people that God has chosen. Why? To dishonor those who are mighty, the powerful, those who are of great ability. God has chosen the base things of this world. That word base is an interesting word that'll build you up for sure. It means insignificant or inferior. And God has chosen the despised things. Means very literally to treat someone as though they did not matter. And God has, well, God has chosen the people who are inferior in whose eyes? In the world's eyes. Okay? And insignificant in the world's eyes. And despised or treated in the world's eyes as if they did not even matter. Those are the people that God has chosen to bring to naught those things that are. Now, I do want to call your attention to verse 28, because it hadn't been that long ago I've heard this verse taught, and not within this church, but it was taught, and things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. This is the way that was taught, that that what God is talking about is you've got to believe it to make it so, even if it's not real. For example, and this was the example, if you're needing money, you got to believe God for money. And it'll happen. Well, that's what he said, making those things that are not to be so. Now, that's baloney. Okay? That's not in context. That's not the point of this scripture. Okay? What this is talking about is that God has chosen base or insignificant people. People that are treated as though they didn't matter. People who are inferior. People like this to bring to nothing the things that are. Those things that are the things of the world. The wisdom of the world. The intellectualism of the world. The power of the world. The mighty, the noble of the world. God has chosen the weak, the insignificant things to, very frankly, amaze the world. That's what he's saying. So do you feel better yet? You want to know why? You want to know why God chose such insignificant weaklings? Verse 29. And I want you to grab on to this. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That's the point. Okay? That no flesh, my translation, kind of putting it in words that maybe we would use, that no man can take pride in himself before Almighty God. That's the bottom line. I mean, how easy is it to in ministry or in anything for good things to happen and for you to back up and say, you know, I'm doing a pretty good job. Whether it's a Bible teacher class, or whether it's a pastor or a music director or an orchestra or wherever. And you just back up and you just get to feeling good about yourself and thinking, boy, they're lucky to have me. As a matter of fact, there have been times that I've thought, that I've heard people say, boy, they couldn't make it without me. You ever heard anybody say that? You're bad wrong if you think that. God's kingdom does not hinge upon us. God does not depend upon our power, our ability, our wisdom. God does not need us. The glory of it is that we need God. And the glory is that God has allowed us to be a part of His kingdom and a part of His ministry. And the awesome thing about it is when God takes weaklings like you and myself and does something awesome at it, that you just have to back up and say, wow, it's got to be God, because you know it can't be Him. That's where I want to be. You see, that's the joy. That's the encouragement. That's the part that makes you feel good. Not, I'm doing a good job, or they can't do without me, or look what I've done. But rather, look what my Savior has done. That's why not many wise, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. That's why salvation is all about what Jesus did. And Paul has been harping on that, you know, prior to this, that it's about that cross. It's about Jesus. But it doesn't stop being all about Jesus after you're saved. You know? It continues to be His power and His ability. It continues to be God that works through us. When the church is growing, it's not because of us, it's because of God. When a Bible class is growing, it's not because of the teacher, it's because of God. When the choir does well, it's not because of the choir, it's because of God, the awesome God working through His people. That's the part that should make us feel good. I mean, you and I know, let's face it, we're not much. You know, but that's okay, because our God is everything. He is everything. He's the one of greatness. And because of Him, as verse 30 puts it, you are in Christ. He became wisdom for us. He was our cleverness. He had the plan to overcome sin. He became our righteousness. He made us right before God. He became our sanctification, causing us to be set apart for God's use. He became our redemption, paying our sin debt upon Calvary. It's all about Him. Just to put it simply, it's Jesus or nothing. Therefore, verse 31, therefore, here's the reason we're here. Therefore, he who glories, and grab this, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If you take pride in someone, take pride in Jesus. If you have someone to boast about, don't boast. Have you ever known anybody who want to tell you what they did? Well, I did this and I did that, and if it hadn't been for me, that's not impressive, is it? Boast in your Savior, Jesus Christ. Tell the world how awesome He is. Do you realize God didn't choose us because of who we were? God chose us because of who He is. Therefore, let our glory be in the awesome God that we serve. As I was preparing for this message, you know, it's just times that I just have to sit down and think about it. This is a good one just to sit down and think about. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That just makes me not feel so bad about being dumb sometime. You know it? Because even in my lack of intellectual ability, even in my lack of power, even in my failures and shortcomings, and yes, even when I sin, it's not about me. It's about my Savior. Oh, what a blessing it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. Are you a child of God? If not, you need to be. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And tonight, I just ask you to think about it. Jesus died for you. He gave His life so you could live in heaven with Him. Have you called upon Him for salvation? If not, why not tonight? Oh, Brother Doug, you know, I can't do it right now. People will watch me walk down the aisle. Nobody's going to watch you, okay? It's not between you and everybody else here. It's between you and God, all right? Listen to Jesus as He calls. As I said this morning, God has proven Himself to you. He proved himself to you by giving his son Jesus to die on your behalf. Do you know him as Savior? The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called? If not, why not tonight? And maybe you're already a child of God and you know. Perhaps you're in one of those discouraging times. You know, we all go through those times when, you know, we're ups and downs and ups and downs. And sometimes we get even hard on ourselves and think, well, boy, I just made a mess of that. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to remind you, it's not about you. Okay? You hadn't made a mess but what God can't clean up. The awesomeness isn't about what you're doing. The awesomeness is about what God's going to do through you. Be encouraged. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been thinking a little bit too much of yourself. Listen, it's not about you. It's about the awesomeness of our God. I would ask you to listen to Jesus as we have this invitation and respond as he leads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you saved us in spite of our failures and our shortcomings, that you have brought us into your family, Lord, in spite of our lack of abilities. We thank you that you count us worthy to work your mighty works through. Lord, we love you, and we pray that your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.